Osho. Seeds of Revolution, My Most Loved Gospel on Jesus. Commentaries on the Fifth Gospel of St. Thomas. Discourse number 11, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India.
Bhagwan, Jesus said, "A city being built on a high mountain, fortified, cannot fall, nor can it ever be hidden." Jesus said, "What thou shalt hear in thy ear, and in the other ear, that preach from your housetops. For no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel, nor does he put it in a hidden place, but he sets it on a lampstand, so that all who come in and go out may see its light." Jesus said, "If a blind man leads a blind man, both of them fall into a pit."
The whole human problem consists in choosing between the momentary and the eternal. If you choose the momentary, you are building your house on sense. It is going to fall. If you choose the eternal, then something which is going to be forever and forever is achieved. And nothing less can satisfy you. Only the eternal can satisfy you. The momentary cannot satisfy you. Rather, on the contrary, it will make you more hungry and more thirsty. It is like as if someone is throwing butter in the fire to put it out. It will become a food for the fire, and the fire will increase. The momentary is just like butter in the fire of your mind, desire. It helps it. It is a foot. Only the eternal can quench the thirst. And there is no other way. But when I say, if you choose the eternal, only then you build your house on a mountain top, on something rock-like, which will be there. And your effort will not be wasted. What do I mean when I say, if you choose the eternal? Because the eternal cannot be chosen. If you choose, you will always choose the momentary. Choice is of the momentary. Then what do I mean when I say, choose the eternal? I mean, if you can understand that the momentary is useless, by the next moment you will be thirsty again. And this water is not going to destroy your thirst. If you understand this, the moment it drops, it becomes useless. You simply come to understand its meaninglessness. It simply drops. And the eternal is chosen. You never choose it. When the moment it drops, the eternal enters into your life. But the momentary must become absolutely fruitless, meaningless. With the momentary, your failure must be total. Blessed are those who fail in this world. This beatitude must be added with Jesus' other beatitudes. Be a failure in this world. You are trying just the opposite, to succeed in it. If you succeed, that will be the real failure. Because then you remain with the moment. But no one ever succeeds. Fortunate we are, because no one ever succeeds. At the most, you can go on postponing the failure, that's all. You may postpone it to a further life. You can postpone it for millions of lives, but no one ever succeeds in this world. Because how you can succeed with the moment, that which is fleeting? How can you make a house on it? That which is passing moment to moment, going out of existence, how can you make a house, an abode on it? By the time the house is ready, the moment is gone. That's why every moment you feel frustrated. But again, you start doing the same thing. It seems you are not aware. It seems you are not alert what you are doing. It seems you have not learned anything from life. You have remained ignorant of life. You have not attained to any experience. You may have much knowledge. You may know how to build the house. You may be an engineer, an architect. But you have not learned through experience that on the momentary, the house cannot be built. This is the first thing Jesus says. Jesus said, a city being built on a high mountain, fortified, cannot fall, nor can it ever be hidden. Many things. First, a city built on a high mountain. You always make something in the valley. These are symbols. Valley means the dark night. High top means more conscious, more aware. The more aware you are, the higher you go. When you become perfectly aware, you are on the Everest. That's why Hindus have been saying that Shiva lives on Gauri Shankar. Shiva is the highest consciousness. Shiva is not a person. Shiva means the perfect consciousness. Perfect consciousness lives on the Gauri Shankar, the highest top. When you are unconscious, you fall down into the dark valley. Your night is a valley. Your sleep is a valley. When you are aware, you start moving towards the height. When you are completely unconscious, that is the lowest point of existence. Rocks are existing there at the lowest ladder because rocks are perfectly unconscious. They are not dead. They are alive. They grow. They become young. They become old. They die. They pass through all the phases you pass. But they are not conscious. The lowest rung of the ladder. Sometimes you are like a rock. When you are fast asleep, what is the difference between you and the rock? When not even a single ray of consciousness is there, what is the difference between you and the earth? You have fallen back. In your sleep, you go towards the valley. The sinner means one who lives constantly in his sleep. The saint means one who is not asleep even in his sleep. Krishna has said to Arjuna, then when everybody is asleep, The yogi is still awake. When everybody is in slumber, the yogi is still alert. The totality of the yogi never goes to sleep. A point of witnessing always remains there. He witnesses his own sleep. In his sleep you fall down. In awareness you rise high. When nothing is asleep in you, when your whole consciousness has become a light, when not a single fragment is unconscious, when your complete being is filled with light, that's what we mean by a Buddha, a Christ. No unconsciousness exists. This is the highest peak. So the symbolic meaning, a city built on a high mountain. You are building. Your city, your house is in a valley. And not only ordinary sleep is enough for you. You seek drugs to fall more asleep. You seek methods of hypnosis to become more asleep, more unconscious. Because consciousness is a pain. It is anguish. Why it is anguish? And Buddha and Jesus say that is the greatest bliss that is possible. But for you, why consciousness is painful? Why you want to forget everything? Why consciousness is painful? It is painful if only 1% of you becomes conscious and 99% of you remains unconscious. Then that 1% suffers, seeing the mess all around. Seeing that 99% in a state of madness, that 1% of consciousness suffers. That 1% of consciousness seeks alcohol, drugs, LSD, marijuana, or something else, sex, or music, or a mantra to create an auto-hypnosis, so that 1% also falls back and becomes part of the whole. Then you are not worried, because there is nobody to know. Then there is nobody to be alert and conscious. Then there is no problem. This is what they call the logic of the ostrich. Whenever an ostrich finds that some enemy is coming, he will hide his head into the sand. The moment he cannot see, his logic is, when I cannot see the enemy, how the enemy can be there? Ostrich seems to be a perfect atheist. That's what atheists have been saying. They say, if we cannot see God, how he can be there? When we see, only then something exists. As if on your seeing, existence depends. If you don't see, then the thing disappears. The ostrich hides his head, closes his eyes, and immediately he is unafraid because the enemy is no more. But the enemy does not believe in your logic. On the contrary, you are playing in the hands when your eyes are closed. You are playing in the hands of the enemy. You are becoming a victim on your own part. You could have escaped, but now there is no escape because you think there is no enemy. You may feel a momentary happiness because the enemy is not there. Not that the enemy is not there, but because you feel. That's how when you become unconscious through drugs, you feel a momentary happiness. No problem exists. All the enemies disappeared. There is no anxiety, because for anxiety, you need to be alert, aware. When 100% of your being becomes conscious, then there is bliss, because the conflict disappears. Buddha is right. You are also right, because your experience is the more you become alert, the more you feel problems around you. So it is better to remain in a long slumber, in a lifelong sleep. That's why we built our cities in the valleys, not at the housetops. Then there is another reason. A city being built on a high mountain, fortified, cannot fall, nor can it ever be hidden. We built our cities in such a way, on such a fleeting existence, on the momentary, the temporal, that by the time they are ready, they are falling. By the time they are ready, they have already become ruins. Why? Because only the momentary we can see. We don't have a total vision. We can see only that which is nearest, just very close. Only the moment is close. You see one moment, then it passes, then another moment, then it passes. You see these passing moments. You cannot have a total vision. For the total vision, a perfect consciousness is needed. In a total vision, you can see the whole life. Not only whole life, you can see the whole world. That's what jainas mean when they say that when Mahavir became enlightened, he could see past, present, future. The whole time. What they mean? They mean that the wholeness of existence becomes clear to you. And when the wholeness is clear, only then you can make a fortified city. Otherwise, how you can make? You don't know what is going to happen next moment. Whatsoever you do, next moment may undo it. And whatsoever you do, dependent on the momentary, not on the whole may reject it. It may become absolutely meaningless in the whole. It happened once. A Chinese master had an American disciple. When the disciple was going back, the master gave him a present. A small carved wooden box. And he said that one condition has to be always followed. If you give this box to somebody else, then the condition has to be fulfilled. Promise. Because this promise I have been fulfilling, and this is not a new thing, very ancient thing. And many, many generations the condition has been fulfilled. The disciple said, I will fulfill. It was such a beautiful thing, so valuable, so ancient. He said, whatsoever the condition. Master says, the condition is simple. You have to keep it in your house facing east. And this has always been done. And be respectful to the tradition. The disciple said, this is very simple. I will do it. But when he put the box facing east, then he came to understand it is very difficult. Because his whole arrangement in the drawing room became absurd. That box facing east will not adjust. So he had to change the whole arrangement of the drawing room to be harmonious with the box. But then the whole house became absurd. Then he had to change the whole house. Then the garden became upset. Then he felt exhausted. He wrote to the master that this box is dangerous. I will have to change the whole world. Because if I change my garden also, then with the neighborhood, And he was a man of sensitivity. That's why he felt. If you make your life on the moment, you are going to be in difficulty with the whole. Because it will never adjust. It will never be harmonious. Something or other will always be wrong. The whole has to be looked before you make your city, before you make your abode. The whole has to be consulted and referred. With the vision of the whole, you should create your life and the pattern of your life. You should live with the vision of the whole. Only then your life will be a harmony, a melody. Otherwise, you will always be somehow outlandish, eccentric. Every man is eccentric. This word is beautiful. Eccentric means out of the center. Somehow missing the center. Not exactly as it should be. Why every man is eccentric? Out of the center, out of the focus? Out of step with life, because everybody is trying to make life according to the moment. Moment is not the whole. Moment is a fragment, such a small tribal fragment of eternity. How can you adjust to eternity if you make your life according to the moment? That's why Jesus says, make your life, create your life according to the whole, the eternal, not the moment. A city being built on a high mountain, fortified, cannot fall, nor can it ever be hidden. Your city will always be falling. Your city will always be in ruins. It is so. You need not ask Jesus. You can just look at your life. It is a ruin. Before you have built it, it is already a ruin. You are a ruined city. Why it is happening? Because of the momentary. Have a vision of the eternal, of the timeless. How this vision will come? The higher your consciousness, the greater your vision. The lower your consciousness, the smaller your vision. You go and stand on the street under a tree and look. You have a vision. You can see to the nearest corner of this road. Then there is a turning and the vision stops. Then go. Climb the tree and have a vision from the tree. Then you have a greater vision. Then move in an aeroplane. Then you have a bird's-eye view of the whole city. Go higher, and greater becomes the vision. Go lower, smaller is the vision. There are runs in the ladder of consciousness. If you are at the peak of your consciousness, look from there, eternity is revealed. Have you observed a very small thing? You are standing under a tree, you look to the east, you don't see anything. Somebody is sitting on the tree, he says, I can see a bullock cart coming. You say, there is no bullock cart. I can't see. And then I can't see how it can be. The bullock cart is in future for you. But for the man who is sitting on the tree, the bullock cart is in the present. So don't think that the present means same to everyone. Your present is confined to you, it may not be present for me. My present is confined to me, it may not be present to you. It depends on the ladder of consciousness. For Buddha, everything is present because there is no future. his vision is complete. For Jesus, everything is present. There is no past because he can see. There is no future because he can see. From the highest peak of consciousness, the whole is visible, so nothing is past, nothing is future. Everything is here and now. Future exists because of your confined vision. Not because future is a necessity in the world, in the existence. It simply shows that you have a narrow vision. Something that goes out of your vision becomes past. That which has not come yet into it becomes future. But things in themselves are in the eternity. Time is your invention because you live in the valley. Hence, all the traditions of the world have been emphasizing that when you move into samadhi, ecstasy, deep meditation, time disappears. What does this mean? They mean that past, present, future, the division disappears. Existence is but without divisions, timeless. Make your city on the timeless. Don't make it on the moment, otherwise it will always be a ruin. Because present is fleeting and beginning past. What do I mean when I say it will be a ruin? Before you have even built it. Because the moment you built, that moment is past. It is already gone. It is no more in your hands. The earth below your feet is moving continuously. A city being built on a high mountain, fortified. And why he uses the word fortified? As you are in the valley, always in fear, insecurity, always in danger, the valley is filled with ghosts, shadows, all around the enemies, hatred. I have heard about a housefly who was passing from the supermarket. In one window, insecticides were on display. She read the sign. In big red letters it was written, "New spray, guaranteed to kill flies immediately." She read the sign. And this Sifulu muttering to herself, "There is too much hatred in the world. You live in the world of the valley. There everything is guaranteed to kill. Immediately. You live in the valley of death. Nothing else is guaranteed there. Only death is guaranteed." Have you ever observed the fact that in life everything is uncertain except death? It should be otherwise. But the only certainty that you have is a guarantee to die, that's all. This much can be said in the valley, that you will die. That much is certain. Everything else is uncertain and accidental. It may happen, it may not happen. What type of life is this where only death is guaranteed? But it is so, because in darkness only death can exist. In unconsciousness only death can exist. Unconsciousness is the path towards death. Whenever you want to be unconscious, you want to die. a deep urge to die is in you, otherwise you will start moving towards the height. Freud, in his last phase of life, stumbled upon a very deep fact. He called it thanatos, the wish towards death. His whole life he was thinking around libido, a theory which says that man exists as a will to live. But the more he penetrated in the will to live, the more he became uncertain. The more he started to understand the will to live, he found deep down there is a will to die. It was very difficult for Freud because he was a linear thinker, one-dimensional. And he was an Aristotelian, a logician. This was very contradictory. That behind libido, the lust to live, the will to live, there is will to die, thanatos. He became very much disturbed. But that's what Buddha has been saying forever and ever. That's what Jesus has been saying. That as you are so useless. Your whole life is so futile, just full of frustrations. You would like to die. When you take something to become unconscious, the wish to die is there. Because unconsciousness is a temporary death. You cannot live without sleep, even for a few days, because sleep is a sort of temporary death. You need it. You need it very deeply. If you cannot die every day for 8 hours, you will not be able to live next day. Because your whole life is such a mess. And to be is not a bliss. Rather, not to be seems to be blissful. So wherever you can lose yourself, you feel blissful. If you can lose in a political movement, if you can become a Nazi, and you can lose yourself in a crowd, you feel good because this is the death. You are no more there, only the crowd exists. That's why dictators succeed, because of your wish to die. Even in the 20th century, dictators succeed because they give you a chance to die so easily. That's why wars have existed always, and they are going to exist, because you are not in any way changing. Man is not transforming himself. Wars will exist because they are a deep will to die. You want to kill and you want to be killed. Life is such a burden, then suicide seems to be the only solution. If you have not committed suicide up to now, don't think that you are a very life lover. No, you are simply afraid. You are not a lover of life, because the lover of life will always move towards the height. Because higher the peak, more life. Hence, Jesus can promise that come to me and I will give you life in abundance. Hence, Jesus says, I am life, great life, come to me. But to come to Jesus is very difficult, because you have so much investment in the valley, in the dark ways of life. And you are so much afraid to be alive. You make many arrangements not to be too much alive. You exist with minimum life. You exist like an automata. Everything you turn into a mechanical thing. so that you need not bother about it. You need not live in it. Wars will continue. Violence will continue. And men will go on killing each other. And the whole effort has been to create a device which can become a global suicide, and now we have discovered it, the edge bomb. Why scientists are continuously working, devoting their whole life to create destructive things? Because that is the deepest desire in man, to die, somehow to die. It is not very conscious, because if it becomes conscious, you will start transforming yourself. Many times you assert it would have been better if I was not born. One Greek philosopher, Philo, is said to have said that the first blessing is not to have born. The second blessing is to die as soon as possible. And he says these two only are the blessings. First, not to have born. But no one is that fortunate, because everybody is already born. Only the second is available, to die as soon as possible. Philo himself lived to be 97. Somebody asked him, but you have not committed suicide. So he said, just I have been tolerating the life to give the message to others. The message that to die is the only solution. Suicide is a deep-rooted instinct. Immediately you feel anything goes wrong, you feel commit suicide, destroy yourself. A religious man is one who becomes alert about it, that a deep death wish is hidden inside. Why it is there? You have to bring more light into you so that you can become aware of the corner where death is hidden and eating you continuously. It is not that suddenly one day you die. You die for 70 years slowly. Death is not a phenomenon that comes in the end. It is fast with the birth. Then every breath and every moment is simply nothing but a continuity of dying and dying and dying. It completes into 7 years because it is a very slow process. But you have been dying. And you are waiting deep down to be finished. Sooner the better. You have not committed suicide because you are very afraid. Scared. What will happen? So you tolerate. Life, you are not enjoying it as a gift of God. You are simply tolerating it. You are simply carrying it somehow, waiting for the moment when you can get out of the train. Once it happened, Thomas Edison was invited for a dinner. Few friends had gathered. He was a man of few words, and he was always disturbed whenever there was crowd. He was a lonely worker in his laboratory. He was a researcher, a contemplative man. The presence of the other always was a disturbance, and there were many people, and they were so much engaged in eating, gossiping, discussing, that he felt that now this is the moment I can escape. So he just started to look for the door from where he can escape, and then he was caught. The host caught him and asked, "Mr. Edison, what you are working on now?" He said, "The exit." But everybody is working for the exit. Become alert about it. But why? You cannot enjoy a life which is a gift. You have not earned it. That's why I say it is a grace. Existence has given it to you. You can call it God. It is a simple gift, pure gift. You have not done anything to achieve it, to gain it. Why can't you be blissful and thankful and enjoy it? It should be enjoyed, dancing. But what is the problem? Because to enjoy bliss, greater awareness is needed. To suffer anguish, no need. There is no need to be aware. To suffer anguish, more darkness is needed, less consciousness is needed. Night is needed, not day. But to enjoy bliss, more alertness is needed. So if you see a saint who is sad, know well that he is not a saint. Because awareness will give a blissfulness. Awareness will give a deep laughter to his whole being. Awareness will give him something. He will become childlike. He can run after a butterfly. And he can enjoy simple food. And he can enjoy ordinary things of life so much that everything becomes a gift. Everything becomes a grace from the gods. And he can be thankful moment to moment, even for his breathing. He can enjoy even his breathing, simple breathing. It is so blissful. If you find a saint who is sad, know well something has gone wrong. He still lives in the valley. He has not moved to the peak. Otherwise, a radiance, a lightness, a childlike enjoyment, unworried, unafraid. He is fortified in his consciousness. Why consciousness fortifies you? Because the more conscious you become, the more you know you cannot die. There is no death. Death exists only in the dark valley. And if you are fortified against death, you are fortified. The more conscious you are, the more you know you are the eternal, the divine. Right now you don't know who you are. This is the valley of ignorance. And there only death happens, nothing else. And you live trembling, shaking with fear. If you look within, you will find only fear and nothing else. Because around you there is only death, nothing else. So this is natural. Death all around, fear inside is a natural counterpart. If you move to the heights, love will be within. And eternity around. There will be no fear. It cannot be. Because you cannot be destroyed. You are indestructible. There is no possibility of your death. You are deathless. This is the fortification Jesus talks about. A city being built on a high mountain, fortified. But remember, the high altitude is the fortification. Cannot fall, nor can it ever be hidden. This is very paradoxical. In the valley, you constantly fall. On the top, never. This is paradoxical because we see people falling from the top. In the valley, Why one should fall when is walking on a plain ground? People fall from heights. That is a myth. In the inner world, nobody falls from the heights. Once the inner height is achieved, one never falls from it. Nothing can be taken from you if you have achieved it in the within. Without, your myth is true. People fall whenever they are on the height. But those heights belong to the valley. They are not real heights. If you have fame, you can be certain sooner or later you will be defamed. If you are on the throne, sooner or later you will be dethroned. Whatsoever you achieve in this world will be taken away. But in the inner world, whatsoever you achieve forever. It cannot be taken away. Knowing cannot go back. Once achieved, it becomes part of you. It is not something you purchase. It becomes your being. And you cannot unknow it. Once you have known that you are deathless, how you can unknow it? There is no way to unlearn it. You have learned. And only that is real knowledge which cannot be unlearned. That which can be unlearned is just memory, not knowledge. That which you can forget is just memory, not knowledge. Knowledge is that which you cannot forget. There is no way to forget it. It has become your being. It is part of you, your very existence. You need not remember it. You need remember only those things which are not part of you. Fortified, a city being built on a high mountain cannot fall, nor it can ever be hidden, and you cannot hide it. A city built on the top will be known. For eternities it will be known. There is no way to hide it. How can you hide a Buddha? It is impossible. How can you hide a Jesus? It is impossible. The phenomena is so tremendous. The existence is so penetrating that the impact will last. You can crucify a Jesus, but you cannot neglect him. And those who crucified still suffer for that crucifixion. Just a single man, an ordinary son of a carpenter, was killed. Nothing was important. Jews must have thought that way. Nobody bothered. If you kill a carpenter's son and you kill according to the law, there is no problem. But Jews have suffered for 2,000 years because of that crucifixion. Generations after generations. They have remained crucified just for this one man. It looks very logical. And Jews go on saying that we have not done anything. They are right in a way. Because those who did, they died long before. But a person like Jesus moves with the timeless. As far as Jesus is concerned, crucifixion is going to remain forever and forever. It is not past, because a person like Jesus is never past. It is a fact right now, he is crucified. Jews may think that we did it in the past and those who did are no more. And we never did it. We may belong to those who did it, but we never did it. But Jesus' crucifixion is now going to be an eternal fact. Now it cannot be removed in the past. It is going to be a lip wound. The wound is going to remain there in the heart. And Jews have suffered too much. They have suffered, it looks, because just for one man, millions of Jews have been killed these 20 centuries. Just for one man, millions of Jews. It seems unjust. But you don't know this man. That's why it seems unjust. This man is worth more than millions of men. They played the day they crucified the son of a carpenter. They played with a tremendous fire. They tried to hide it, but it cannot be hidden. They tried to hide it. There exists no Jewish record in which Jesus is crucified. Christian records are there, but Jews have not recorded the fact even that he was crucified. But you cannot hide. And Jews started to disappear. They suffered because they tried to close their eyes against the sun. And this is the misery of whole thing, that they gave birth to Jesus. Jesus was a Jew. And he remained a Jew up to the very last moment. He was never a Christian. And Jews have been waiting for this man for many thousand years. Their prophets in the past had told them that a man will come who will deliver you. Soon a man will be there who will become your salvation. From how stops. For thousands of years, prophets have been telling to the Jews, and Jews were in waiting. They prayed and they waited and they waited. And this is the irony. When the men came, they refused. When the men came and knocked at their door, they said, "No, you are not that promised one." Why? It is easy for the mind to wait. Because the mind can go on hoping, desiring, dreaming. But when God knocks at your door, remember, you will also refuse. You may have been praying. But when God knocks at the door, what is the problem? Why you refuse? Because only one can exist in the house. When God knocks at the door, you have to disappear. That's the problem. Waiting, you exist. Your ego exists. Jews were very egoistic about that the promised man is going to be born in their race. They are the chosen few. God has chosen them, and the Son of God is going to be born in a Jewish family. The ego felt it very good. But when this chosen man came and he knocked at the door and has said, "I have come to fulfill the promise," they said, "No, you are not that chosen man. And if you try to say that you are, we will kill you." What was the problem? The problem is human. The problem is, if Jesus exists, then you have to disappear. You have to dissolve in him. You have to surrender. It was good for the ego to think that the promised man will come to us, the chosen race of the world. But it was very difficult to accept when the man came. They killed Jesus. They have not even recorded They wanted to forget this whole thing so that they can hope again, and they are hoping still. Jews are still hoping for the promised man. And I tell you, if he comes again, he will not come because he must have learnt by experience. If he comes again, they will crucify him again. And they have suffered a lot just because they tried to ignore the city built on the top. They tried to hide a city built on the top. They tried to hide the sun. They tried to hide the truth. They crucified the truth, but truth cannot be crucified. You cannot kill it. It is eternal. It is deathless. And still they have not become aware why they have suffered so much. The guilt. They feel still guilty deep down. A Jew is never without a guilt. The guilt follows like a shadow. The guilt is that the promised one, when he came, you refused. And Jews know deep down that they have done the greatest sin that is possible, to refuse God when he knocks at your door. And he is not going to fulfill your expectations. Whenever he comes, he will be a stranger. Because if he fulfills your expectations, then he is no more a God. God is always a stranger, always the unknown, knocking at the door of the known. He cannot come in the form of the known. It is not possible. He remains always the unknown, the mysterious. You would like him to come according to the formula. No, he follows no formula. He is not dead. Only dead matter follows formula. Life lives as a mystery. A city being built on a high mountain, fortified, cannot fall, nor can it ever be hidden. Jesus said, "What thou shalt hear in thy ear and in the other ear, that preach from your housetop. For no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel, nor does he put it in a hidden place, but he sets it on a lampstand, so that all who come in and go out may see its light." Jesus said to his disciples that whatsoever you have heard, go and call it from the housetops, so that others can hear it. Because for no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel, nor does he put it in a hidden place. Jesus says, go and tell the good news. Go and tell that the unknown has entered into the known. Go and tell that in your routine world, the mysterious has entered. Go and tell from the housetops so that people can hear and people can come and know and be benefited. Don't be shy about it. There is a deep problem about it. It is very difficult. Must have been very difficult for Jesus' disciples. It is always so. To tell others that the Son of God has come. Very difficult, because people will laugh. They will say, you have gone crazy. They will not believe that Jesus is the Christ. They will believe you are crazy. If you say Jesus is God, they will think you have gone completely mad. You need some psychoanalysis. You go and visit a doctor. You take some medicine. You rest and relax because you think you are something wrong. Something has gone wrong in you. It is very difficult to tell people that someone has become realized. Why? Because whenever someone becomes realized, it becomes a deep wound in you. It becomes a deep hurt. You could have become the same, but you have missed. A comparison enters. Your ego feels hurt that Jesus is the Son of God and why I am not. The case would have been otherwise. I was. How Jesus has become the Son of God. And this is easier to deny than to change yourself and become Son of God. It is easier because no is always the easiest thing in the world. Nothing is to be done. You say no and finished. If you say yes, everything starts. Nothing is finished. No is always the end. Yes is always the beginning. If you say yes, Jesus is the Son of God, then you have to transform yourself. Then you cannot remain with this yes. You have to move. You have to do something. If you say no, the problem solves. Then whatsoever you are, wherever you are in the valley, in darkness, in death, you are at ease. Jesus creates the unease in you. Buddha moves amidst you and he creates the unease. And he takes the revenge. Because if one man can reach to such a height, how it is that you have missed? It is better to say that there is no height, nobody has ever reached it, than you are at ease in your darkness. Then you can be comfortable. Jesus and Buddha, they are very great tensions. Because they uproot you from the valley. They shake you from your sleep. And they say, move on, this is no place to stay. There is a saying of Jesus that this world is just a bridge. Move on. This is no place to make it a home. Cross it. But don't stop on it. Nobody makes a house on the bridge. This world is just a bridge. And you have made the house on it. You would not like to know the fact that this is a bridge. Because then what will happen to all your effort and labor and all your investment and your whole life devoted to making this house? And now somebody comes, a vagabond, who says, what are you doing? This is a bridge. It is better not to look down the river. Why it is a bridge? Because Jesus, our people like Jesus, never use a single word without deep meaning. It is a bridge because it is on a river. And the river is of the momentary. The time is just a momentary river. It goes on flowing and flowing. Heraclitus has said that you cannot step in the same river twice. Because if you come to step twice, the river has gone. It is some other water that is flowing now. The same water is not there. The river gives you an appearance that this is the same river, but there is no river-like thing. River means change. It is going, flowing. Why Jesus calls this world a bridge? Because you have made it on the temporary, the time, the river of time, everything moving. Move from this bridge. This is no place to make a house. But if somebody comes and says you, and for your 50 years you have been making the house, and now it is almost ready. And remember, it is almost ready. Never ready. It cannot be. That is not the nature of it. When it is almost ready, and I was just going to rest from the whole effort and the tension of building the house, this man comes and he says, this is on the river. Rather than believing in this man and looking down, you would like to say, go away, you are a fool. Or if this man insists, as Jesus goes on insists in hammering, you will become angry. Hence he was crucified. It was too much a trouble. Socrates was poisoned because the whole Athens was in discomfort because of this man. He will catch hold of you anywhere in the marketplace and will ask uncomfortable questions and destroy your comfortable life. He became such a nuisance in the valley. A Buddha is always a nuisance. He created so much anguish and anxiety, people could not sleep. They could not do their work well because he created doubt. He said, what are you doing? This is a river and this is a bridge. And this market. And you are building your house here. Seek the eternal, the truth. He became such a nuisance that they had to poison Socrates in the valley that has been always happening. If a man with eyes comes to a town of blind men, they will kill him. Or, if they are kind, they will operate on his eyes. But they will do something. Because that man, simply coming there, makes them blind. They think they were never blind. They never knew it. And this man comes and he says, you are blind. You are mad. He makes them aware of things they don't want to be aware. Those things create anxiety. Jesus says to his disciples, go, and from the housetops cry. Why from the housetops? Because people are almost deaf. They don't hear. They don't want to hear. Even when they hear, they are not hearing. They are somewhere else. Even when they nod, they are simply bold. They may tolerate, but they never enjoy the truth. Because truth will always make you uncomfortable, bound to be, because you live in the valley of lies. Your whole life is such a lie. You have been lying to others, to yourself, and you have made everything around lies. Now somebody comes and says the truth. A man who was believing that he is healthy and he had all sorts of diseases. And then somebody comes and says, what nonsense you are talking, you are ill. That man thinks this man is a bad omen. He is making me ill, I was absolutely okay. To make you alert, to make you aware of the truth, destroys your palaces, dream palaces. You have made out of cards, out of playing cards. Jesus says, go, and whatsoever you have heard me telling you, preach from your housetops. For no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel. Don't be shy, and don't be afraid. The light is there, now don't hide it. Nor does he put it in a hidden place. But he sets it on a lampstand, so that all who come in and go out may see its light. This has been always a problem. Buddha, Mahavir, Lao Tse, Jesus, Muhammad, Zarathustra, they always have to insist continuously for the disciples to go and tell others. Because the opportunity will not be forever. Jesus will not be there in his physical body forever. And if you cannot realize him when he is in his physical body, how you will be able to realize him when he is not? If his physical presence cannot become a revelation to you, how it can become a revelation to you when he has disappeared into the universal? Only rarely one becomes enlightened. Only rarely one's darkness disappears. And it is such a rare phenomenon. And it is not going to last forever. Hence, Jesus is always in a hurry. He knows well. And Jesus had the most limited time on earth. He died when he was 33. He started preaching when he was 30. He died when he was 33. Only 3 years. He was in much hurry. He knew this is going to happen. This crucifixion was going to happen. So he says, go and make as many people aware and alert as possible. The door is open now, they can enter into the divine. But the disciples always remained wavering. Only when Jesus died, they started preaching. That too always happens. Because when Jesus disappears, then they realize what has happened to their life. When Jesus is there, you become accustomed to the light that Jesus is. When he disappears, then darkness. And then you feel what light you have missed. And then you go on preaching from the housetops. But when Jesus was there, something was possible. Now nothing is possible. You go on for centuries. The church is doing that. All over the world they go on preaching. Preaching that Jesus is the light. But now it cannot be much helpful. The door has disappeared. Now Jesus has become invisible. He can help. But you cannot see when it is visible. How can you see when Jesus becomes invisible? If you cannot enter the door when it opens just in front of you, how it will be possible for you to happen to enter in a door which is not visible at all? Difficult. But disciples themselves become alert. When the light disappears, then they start crying and weeping, and then they know, because only through contrast you come to know. You become aware only that you were alive when you become dying. When you come to the moment of death, then you become aware that what life was and how you have missed it. It is said that only when people die, they come to know that they were alive. Otherwise, they miss. Jesus said, if a blind man leads a blind man, both of them fall into a pit. So don't be shy. Go. That there is a man who has eyes. Otherwise, people are led. Because people have a need to be led. If you cannot find a Buddha or a Jesus, still you will follow someone. Because there is a great need to follow. There is a great need. Because you don't know where to go. And somebody says, I know. So what to do? Jesus are not available every day. Buddhas are not born every day. But the need is there. If you cannot get the right food, you will eat the wrong food because the hunger is there every day. And it is very easy to find a blind man because you are blind, you understand the language. It is very easy to follow a blind man because you both belong to the same world of the darkness, the same valley. It is very easy to be convinced by a blind man that he is the master, than to be convinced by a man who is not blind because he uses different language. He talks about a different world. He is so strange. You cannot understand him. It is always easy to follow a wrong master because you are wrong. Something is similar between you and the master. But if a blind man leads a blind man, both of them fall into a pit. It happens. Mulla Nasruddin died and his two disciples committed suicide because without the master what they can do? They all three knocked at the door of the other world, Mulla leading, disciples following. Beautiful gate. Nasruddin said, look, this is what I promised. And I always deliver whatsoever I promise. We have reached heaven. They entered. The guide took them to a beautiful palace. And the guide said, now you are going to live here for eternity. And whatsoever you need, you just tell me and I will fulfill it immediately. Mullah said, look, this is what I promised and I have delivered. For 7 days, they lived in a rapture. Because whatsoever they needed immediately, the demand was fulfilled. Whatsoever. All their desires of their millions of lives were fulfilled within 7 days because there was no effort to be done, no time to be wasted. But by the 7th day they became very much frustrated because when you get too easily you cannot enjoy it, and when you get so immediately that there is no gap between the desire and the fulfillment, you become fed up. That's why rich men are so fed up. A poor man can have a little dance in his life, but not a rich man. Look at the kings. They are dead, fed up with everything because everything is available. Availability is such a great problem, greater than poverty, greater than scarcity. By the 7th day, they were fed up. Because they enjoy the most beautiful women, the most costly wine, the best food, the costliest dresses, and the lived like emperors. But then what to do? By the 7th day, Mullah asked the guide that we would like to have a look down on the world. We would like open a window so we can look at the earth. But the guide said, why? Mullah said, just to regain our interest, to regain our desire. It will be helpful. So the guide opened the door. They looked down on the earth. People, they looked at us. People struggling their whole life and not achieving much. They regain their hunger. By contrast, they enjoyed 7 days again, but again they were fed up. Now, the same medicine won't do. Just looking at the world will not be of much help. They became immune. So Mullah said, now, I have another ridiculous demand. We would like open a door unto hell so we can look at the hell and regain our test, but we have become afraid. because what we will do after it. The guide started laughing and he said, what do you think, where you are? They were in hell. If all your desires are fulfilled, you will be in hell. Because you don't know the bliss of desirelessness. You know only the struggle. That's why poets say, the pleasure is in the waiting, not in the meeting. The pleasure is in desiring, not in fulfillment. And they are right about you. Whenever everything is fulfilled, what you will do? Then you will come to know that you have been in hell. But this happens if you follow a blind man. Even if you reach heaven, it will turn out to be a hell. Because blindness can never reach to heaven. Because heaven is really not a place to reach. It is a state of consciousness. It is not somewhere in the geography. It is not geographical. It is something in you. Hell and heaven both exist in you. And if you follow a blind man, how a blind man can lead you towards the heights? He will lead you in the valley. But there is a need to be led. Be aware of that need. You want to be led because then the responsibility goes to the other. It is better to have a blind leader than none. This is your state of mind. Hence Jesus says, go, and from the housetops, tell people that the Master is here. Jesus has appeared. And the chance is there. And there is every possibility you may miss the opportunity. Run and catch hold of this man. Because few are the moments when the door of heaven opens. Those are the moments when a man becomes enlightened. Then he is the door. Then you can look through him. And you can realize the whole truth. A master is not a man who teaches you. A master is a man who awakens you. A master is not a man who has some information to give to you. A master is a man who is going to give you a glimpse into your own being. But this became a problem. If Jesus has remained silent, nobody would have crucified him. And he was in a hurry. And he started moving around the country and telling people. That created a problem. Because nobody understood him. Everybody misunderstood him. This is going to be so. Because two different dimensions, communication is impossible. He talked about kingdom of God and people thought he is talking about some kingdom here. He talked that I am the king and people thought that he is going to dethrone the king here. He talked that those who are meek shall inherit the earth. He was talking about something else and people thought he is promising his disciples that you will inherit the earth. And politicians became afraid because kingdom, king, inheritance of the earth, all terms are political. Priests became afraid because whatsoever he said was beyond law. Love is always beyond law. Love cannot follow any law because it is a superior law, highest. When you love, everything is okay because love cannot do anything wrong. There are no regulations and rules for it. rules and regulations exist because you can't love, because you are incapable of love. That's why so much rules, so that you cannot harm the other, so that you are prevented from harming the other. But when you love, why you should harm the other? Rules disappear. And Jesus talked about the ultimate law, love. Then priests became afraid. Then the judges, magistrate, the legal system became afraid that he will make a chaos, he will create anarchy. He was crucified because he became a troublemaker. This need not happen. It has happened in the past. This need not happen. Because now, after thousands of years experiencing Buddhas, Mahaviras, Zarathustras, Jesuses, Muhammads, we must become more alert. But no. It is still the case. As if man never learns, his stupidity seems to be ultimate final. And he goes on rationalizing his stupidity. He fortifies his stupidity, his ignorance, and whosoever comes to take it away looks as if he is the enemy. Friends look like enemies, enemies look like friends. Those who can lead seem to be leading astray. Those who are blind are your leaders. Understand first your need of being led. It is beautiful because that shows the search. But don't be in a hurry to follow anybody. How you will decide? What is the criterion? For the seeker, this is one of the most puzzling things. How to decide who is Jesus and who is a blind man? Certainty seems to be impossible, but glimpses of certainty are possible. You cannot be absolutely certain from the very beginning, because the very nature of the thing is such. How can a blind man decide that the other has eyes? The only decision, the only certainty is possible when he starts seeing. Then he will be able, but then there will be no need. When you become a Buddha, no need to recognize the Buddha. When you are like Jesus, no need to know Jesus or follow Jesus. This is the paradox. You are blind and you have to choose how you will decide. By the words, then you will be deceived. Because scholars, pundits, priests, they are very clever with words. Nobody can defeat them. Because they have been doing the business, they have been in business since long. Jesus will look poor in his words. The high priest of the Jews could have defeated him easily. That was not a big problem. Kabir or Buddha, they can be defeated easily through argument, through logic. You cannot just throw words. You will be deceived. Don't use that criterion. A Jesus can be judged only by his being. Be near him. Don't try to listen what he is saying. Try to listen what he is. There is the key. Just be near him. Hindus have called it satsang. Just being near the truth. Just be near. Don't listen what he is saying. Don't get engaged intellectually. Just listen what he is. Being vibrates. Being blooms. Being has a fragrance about it. If you can be silent near a Jesus, you will start listening to his silence. And that silence will make you so blissful. And that silence will make you so fulfilled. So overflowing with love and compassion. That is the criterion. If you do that with a pundit, with a man of knowledge, then you will be filled simply by misery. Because he is as miserable as you are. If you listen to the words, he will look very great. If you listen to his being, to his vibrations, to his throbbing of life, he is as miserable as you are, maybe more. That's why he has become a man of words, to hide his misery. That's why he talks theories, philosophies, systems. That's why he argues, because he does not know. A man who knows does not really argue. He simply states. He simply says, look at these sayings of Jesus. He is not arguing. He is not giving any reasons. He is simply making a statement. Simple statements. A city being built on a high mountain, fortified, cannot fall, nor can it ever be hidden. No argument. Just a simple statement of fact. What thou shalt hear in thy ear and in thy other ear, that preach from your housetops. For no one lights the lamp and puts it under a bosom, nor does he put it in a hidden place, but he sets it on a lampstand, so that all who come in and go out may see its light. No argument. Not trying to prove anything. Simply making a statement. Jesus said, if a blind man leads a blind man, both of them fall into a pit. Simple statements of fact. These words can be used more beautifully by a man of knowledge. There you will be deceived. Whenever you are in search of a master, listen to his being. Learn the art of listening to his being. Just be near him. Feel him. Through the heart. Suddenly, you will feel you are changing. Because he is a magnetic force. Suddenly you will feel something is going, a deep change within you. You are no more the same. Your room is filled with an unknown light. Your burden as if has dropped for a moment. As if through him you have got wings. You can fly. And this is an experience. Only this experience will give you a right person. A man with eyes who can lead you. Where he is going to lead you? He is going to lead you to yourself. A man of knowledge will always lead you to somewhere else. To a heaven somewhere in the sky. To a goal somewhere in the future. But a man of being, a Jesus, a Buddha, leads you nowhere else, just to yourself, because there is the goal. You are the target, you are the goal. And listen through the heart, satsang. That's the criteria. Otherwise, blind men have been leading you for many lives. And again, the blind leader and you both have fallen in the pit. The last thing about the pit. Whenever Jesus says they fall in the pit is the womb. Whenever a blind man leads, both fall into the womb again. That is the pit. They are born again into the same miserable life. The same anguish starts in new forms. Nothing substantial changes. The story remains the same. The whole thing remains the same. Just outer forms change. You are again into the hell. Again into the misery. the womb is the pit. When a man of being leaves you, you never fall into the pit. Then you are born into another dimension, and this world is no more worth being born again. You disappear from here. You appear somewhere else. That somewhere else is God. That somewhere else is Nirvana. Enough for today.